Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin. We're here tonight with our panel, and we're going to continue with our discussion of applying truth to our daily living or walking in obedience to God's Word. We said before that the Word of God means nothing if it's not applied, just like us just reading a story. And so when God saves us, his intent is for us to be changed by the Word of God, because if the Spirit of God is in us, the Spirit makes the Word of God become life unto us. When we read those scriptures, they should become spirit and life to our spirit man, right?
Amen.
And so we were looking at Romans 6 because we said it's the mechanics behind how the Holy Spirit worked. We said the Holy Spirit will not work unless he sees proper faith in the right object. For too long we've been talking about faith. You know, we have the Word of Faith ministry. We have the Charismatics ministry. We have all kind of different denominational and people talking about faith. But most of the times they never clarify or qualify what faith is. We all say, because everybody can have faith in something, right? We all have faith in things or people, but how often do we come to God with the right kind of faith? Remember, when Christ walked the earth, he will always say, be it to you according to your faith. Remember that? Mm-hmm. When he would heal, it was all because of where people's object of faith was, and the faith was in him, who he was and what he would accomplish on their behalf. They saw him as the Messiah. They saw him as the Redeemer. You see what I'm saying? So the miracles he performed were to cause them to grow in faith in him, who he was. If they had read their scriptures or knew the Word of God, they could have followed the prophecies. The Word prophesied, he fulfilled every prophecy. And when you look, it showed that in the Old Testament where it said that he would be born in a certain place and where he would, you know, all these. But they missed, they searched the scriptures. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. How many people are searching the scriptures day in and day out? I need a healing. I need financial blessings. I need to be delivered. But they're not searching to see Christ. See, we're not searching to realize that the scriptures testify of him. Everything from Genesis through Revelation is all about Christ and his atoning work, and his atonement is based upon, that's the only way that the resurrected Christ could come about, based upon his death. You see what I'm saying? And the only way that he could redeem a world was he had to be born in order to die. And we're celebrating this Christmas season, and the holiday, but we have to remember what it was all about. It was about his birth, but yet had he not died. See, we can't just put our focus on the birth and the Virgin Mary. And those things were not demeaning, because they were great indeed. We're not demeaning it at all, because it took his birth in order for him to die. But redemption could not have occurred unless he died. And it was a possibility. He could have been tempted not to fulfill the will of God. He could have acted on the temptation that was presented to him by Satan. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So because he did not, as a man, see, he was fully God, but yet fully man. And people were like, the Muslims fuss all the time. Oh, he wasn't God. He was just a man. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses say he was Michael the Archangel. See, they get who Christ is wrong. They get that wrong. See, if you don't understand who he is and what he's done, if you don't see Christ as the source of redemption and the cross was the means or the way that he redeemed us, then you'll miss, your foundation is not properly laid, and you'll be searching the scriptures looking for life, but not realizing that Christ, that the scriptures testify of him.
Amen.
All life comes out of him. He's the way, the truth, the life. So we're going to go back to Romans chapter 6, and we stopped. We went through verses 11 through 14, where it talked about how we obtain victory over sin. And remember, he said in one of the scriptures that we had to reckon ourselves to be dead, and we use the example and the analogy if you don't take into account where you are or understanding the process of Calvary, you can be somewhere because somebody told you, and because what they said, the wrong interpretation, it can cause you to fall. Remember we used that analogy? I don't want to go back into that. Y'all remember last week, the analogy?
Mm-hmm.
We used with the person on the board, and somebody told them that they could bump their head on the ceiling. Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Because they reckoned themselves to be somewhere where they weren't, because they were blindfolded. They kept thinking that they were going to bump their head on the ceiling, and there was no ceiling there, so therefore they lost their balance and fell off this board.
Right.
So the second person saw how the game worked, was blindfolded, put on this board, and told the same thing, but he reckoned what they said is not true, and he stood his ground and did not fall off the board. You see what I'm saying? We as Christians have to reckon, take into account that we are dead indeed unto sin. If you don't take that into the account, that you and I are dead to the sin nature, we don't have to act on it. The temptation may be there, but it doesn't mean that I have to give in to it.
Amen.
I'm dead with that relationship that I had with my old way of living. See, I've been saved in order to be changed.
Yeah.
God's not going to take anything of my old nature and use it. He has to regene me. He has to create in me a clean heart and renew in me right spirit. You see that?
Amen.
The fall corrupted the soul, the spirit, and the body. See, the fall, it ushered in sin, and sin corrupt everything. So now Christ is he has to come in to regene us. He said we are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, we are becoming what?
New.
Yeah.
See that? There's few Christians that meet or fall or allow this process to take place. This is why he says the way is narrow, and few there be that find it. The way to true life is narrow. Why? Because as we said earlier, we're like sheep, and most sheep just follow the crowd. But they use the fish symbol for Christianity because the fish, certain fish, go upstream. I think it's trout or I forgot what kind of salmon or whatever. They go upstream. They go against the grain. Y'all see what I'm saying? Against the water. They go against. So it's very hard to travel upstream when everything is coming down. Y'all see what I'm saying? That's why they use the symbol of fish, the fish also for fishers of men or what have you, but we have to go against the grain of normal society.
Yes.
Society is based upon trusting the sin nature that bent towards wrongdoing. So this is why Oprah Winfrey can't tell me nothing. This is why Steve Harvey and these players and they cannot tell the believers. This is why Christ said, don't run to the courts, you believers that have an issue. Resolve it amongst yourself. Why? Because these folks are of the what? World system. They look at things totally different than you and I. See, they're looking from a totally different perspective. So they cannot be our judge and jury. We have a higher judge. See that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So when he said, likewise, reckon yourselves, and that's verse 11, we're going to go down to 17 in a second. Yourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin nature, but alive unto God. Verse 11, meaning now that I'm dead to the sin nature, I can walk in newness of life. So I can't see where, let's say if I had a temper or attitude about everything, I have to let the Holy Spirit in me transform my temper, give me self-control. We talked about self-control earlier. This is a fruit of the Spirit. I have to let this work take place in me. How do I do it? I have to realize or reckon I'm dead to that. If I don't reckon there's something wrong with my attitude and my temper, then I won't be able to change because I'm not reckoning, taking into account. I'm dead to that, to the control that the sin nature has over my temper.
Right.
So if I recognize it, then I say, Lord, I'm alive unto you. take this away from me. Help me, Lord, because you don't want this attitude and trying to deal when people get on my last nerve. And God will, as we trust him, exhibit faith, things will start falling off. I don't worry about it. I don't sit there and just keep thinking on it and think I have to give it to him and I have to acknowledge it, right? So then I become alive unto God. Through whom? Christ Jesus, our Lord. I can, and Sister Cherry said it earlier, you can't die to yourself in your strength. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit when your faith and my faith is in the right object. Through is a channel or an act. Who did it? Christ, our Lord. Through what means? The cross. See that?
Amen.
Okay, so we go down and he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. We're responsible to not let the sin nature rule us. I'm just recapping so we can remember. We are responsible because if we let the sin nature rule us, not taking into account that I am dead to it, guess what will happen to me? That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Ungodly lusts are carried out through the mortal body. If faith is not maintained in the cross, see what happens?
Amen.
If faith is not maintained, see, the believer, we have to maintain faith. And when I say that, it's not just an overall generic faith because most people say, well, I got faith, I'm saved. As we said before, what are you doing with it?
Amen.
It's not enough to say you're saved. We got to see the fruit. He said in John 15, what? When we bear fruit, it brings glory to God. And not only did he want us to bear fruit, but he said much fruit. When we bear much fruit, it glorifies God. The reason why there's the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few is because many of us are not submitting to the process of the cross, and we're letting the sin nature reign or rule in our mortal bodies. How many of us can attest to that, right?
Amen.
We are allowing the lust thereof in us. We're obeying it. We're letting it rule to the point that we are obeying the lust thereof. So he says in 13, neither yield you your members as what? Cherry, can you read that?
Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
So here, you and I yielding, it's a surrender. Most people don't want to surrender. Most people don't want to give up their right to be right. Most people don't want to give up their views and their opinions and biases to embrace the views and the opinions of God. So he says, we are responsible. We're not to yield. What did Adam and Eve do? In the garden, they yielded. To whom?
Satan.
Yes. You see that? God gave him a free, he said, y'all are free moral agents. Y'all make the decision. He didn't want a robot. He didn't want somebody just to obey him because he said it and they just feared. He wanted to be a choice because of their love and respect and reverential respect towards him. But Satan took advantage of their lust. Okay, so neither yield your members as instruments. Their body became an instrument for Satan of unrighteousness, meaning the sin nature. So now they became servants of sin, and everybody born became a servant of sin. We're not sinners because of what we do. We're sinners because we were born in sin and we serve sin. Every last one of us born. You know how we turn our nose up? Well, that person did that. I didn't do that. I don't do it. At least I don't do what such and so does. But in the eyes of God, he said, not according to works, lest any man should boast. He categorized all of us as sinners, good ones and bad ones. The good we do in the eyes of God is bad. See what I'm saying? We're the ones that separate. Oh, well, I'm a good sinner. I do good things. See, good, there's no good without Christ.
Amen.
There's none good. No, not one. Didn't he say that in the scriptures?
Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm.
there is no man that's good other than the man, Christ Jesus. He's fully God and fully man. He laid aside. He never lost possession of his deity. What he did was he laid the expression of it aside and said, I'm going to express myself as a man. He never lost possession of being God. He was always God, but he didn't come to earth to express himself as God. Had he done that, then he would not have been qualified as Redeemer. So that's why he had to be born through the virgin birth. He could not, it couldn't be through Mary sleeping with Joseph, because then he would have the sin nature. But it was the Holy Spirit. He was placed in her womb by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All she, Mary was, she just carried him. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm not demeaning mm-hmm. what she's done, what she did, but she carried him. She just birthed him. But she, he was not created through Mary sleeping with Joseph. See, the Holy Spirit placed Christ in the womb of Mary.
Amen.
So he was, his bloodline was not tainted. So that's what made him fully God and fully man. Amen.
Amen.
So he could be tempted as man because he laid aside. See, Satan knew that he was still, he was God. The demons know when they, in the scriptures, when it says, if you are the Son of God, it's really saying since. It was translated wrong, but it's saying since you are the Son of God. Always remember, the demons knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Son of man, please don't cast us. Don't send us away. Send us into the swine. They knew that every time, it's not our time yet. Don't leave us alone. They acknowledged him as God.
Amen.
So he never lost possession of his deity. But now that you're a man, they say we can tempt you as man to act as God. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him to act as God because it would disqualify him as a redeemer. And when we get into Revelation, you'll see why it's important in chapter 5. Because the heavens wept that no man could open the seals. There was nobody that was sinless in the earth, because all of us was born with a bent towards wrongdoing. But all of a sudden, they see a lamb that steps up and takes the book. Even John wept bitterly because they said, there's nobody, there's nobody. Satan had gained the title deed of the earth, which God had given to mankind to have dominion. So if there's nobody to open this book, see, this is why it's so important. This is why heaven rejoiced. This is why John wept, because we would continue to be under Satan's rule. But thank God that Christ was the kinsman redeemer of Adam. See, Adam was the fallen representative man, but this is why Christ had to come as the last Adam and do it the right way. Y'all see what I'm saying? So he yielded his body as an instrument of righteousness. See that? And that's in the second half of verse 13. But yield yourselves unto God. This is what Christ did. He yielded himself. He surrendered himself unto God and said, Father, prepare me a body. Although I'm equal with you, I don't think it's robbery that I have to go down as a man and do your will.
Amen.
But he yielded himself unto God the Father as those we are to, as those who are alive from the dead. See?
Yes.
And our members as instruments of righteousness. Now we're on this earth to do righteous deeds, to do the will of God. And the only way we're made right is through what Christ has done. So when people see me, they should see the righteousness of Christ. They should see the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. Only as I evidence faith in the cross. Now, if I'm a Christian and I'm not evidencing faith in the cross, the fruit is not going to show up. So this is why we get the form. When we don't exhibit faith in the cross of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit does not show up. Love, joy, peace, faith. All the things that are the fruit that's there in the Holy, the temperance, the self-control, long-suffering, forbearing each other's faults. See, we don't see that if our focus is not in the cross, our faith is not in the cross. I'm saved, but I'm not bearing the fruit of righteousness. Why? Because I've not yielded myself unto God as an instrument, as one alive from the dead, because we're raised with newness of life. And now my members are instruments to do righteous deeds for God on earth. That makes sense. Anybody having questions or comments on that?
When we're talking about Ida, when we going back, and it's just back to Mary. And she was a vessel that allowed God to use her.
Yes.
And she didn't reject it. And I think so often we have to be, you know, male or female, have to be a Mary.
Yes.
And allow the Holy Spirit to work through us.
Amen.
She didn't reject it. She didn't try to make it hers. She just accepted what God had put before her.
Wow.
And she received the Holy Spirit impregnating her. And it's the same today when we get impregnated with the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
All we need to do is allow him to work through us. And
yes.
As you were speaking, I said, man, that's what we should be doing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's an excellent point, because she did not, even though she faced ridicule, she didn't care for her life enough to be like, nah, everybody going to think this of me.
Right.
She lost her life in order to gain it. See, we'd be too concerned what people say about us, because I'm pregnant and I know I ain't slept with nobody. We'd be so busy trying to prove.
Right.
Y'all see, so that's an excellent point. When you yield yourself as instrument, your members as instruments of righteousness, God will have us doing things that self may not want to do. And that's why self got to be crucified and put out the way, because self will be so concerned about what we want, how we want, when we want it, what it looked like,
mm-hmm.
our feelings, our emotions. You see that? She had to be very strong in faith to go forward, and knowing that people were not going to believe. She left the results in God's hand. And what did God do?
Yes.
Even Joseph was at the point where, I'm going to put her away silently. I ain't going to do it in front of her. I'm just going to put her. And God said, because she left it in God's hand, he dealt with Joseph.
Yeah, amen.
See that? And this is where we have to be. And go back to what you said earlier about denying self. Denying self is all about trusting God with your situation.
Yes.
Yeah. See, we want to get in the way.
Mm-hmm. And
go ahead.
No, go ahead. We want to get in the way. Go ahead.
We want to get in the way of God, you know, because we're trying to figure this thing out and what's going to happen next. But things may not happen the way that we want them to, but it's going to happen according to his will and what's best for us. See, we can't see down the road. He can. So this is where we have to put faith and say, Lord, I trust you. My life, whatever happens, it's a win-win situation. If I die, I'm in your presence. If I live, I'll declare your works. See, Satan knows that we value our lives. He knows that death can be hung over our heads. But when we're wrapped up in the will of God and we're presenting ourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God, it's your will, Lord. It doesn't matter what we go through if it's your will.
Amen.
I trust you. And it's easier said than done, but as we walk in obedience, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, he builds us up in our most holy faith. Yes, ma'am.
Can I make one other comment?
Yes, uh-huh.
About, I always thought that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And you think about all these churches that's, or these houses that's full of people. And really, the labors are few because we have not really surrendered our lives.
Amen.
We don't have the power. We're doing it. A lot of it is done in our own strength.
Yes.
And we're not taught about the baptism, that the power can work through us. And that really got me. I'm like, how is the harvest so plentiful and all the labors? And you see all these people doing this, giving this,
right.
Have ministries that help people. You know, I said, why is the laborers so few? And he just showed me, well, just like you, you're trying to do it in your own strength.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And And so that's what makes the laborers so few. And that's why we're not seeing a lot of what God was doing in the old, early on.
Right.
It's because we haven't totally given ourselves over to Him.
Amen.
We're justified. I'm not saying like you said, oh, we said we're not, they saved. But that sanctification part.
We're saved. What are we doing with it?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Every time I figure out, okay, you're saved, so what are you doing? And that's the thing. We're not doing anything. We're not walking in it. We think, okay, that's an end in and of itself. I got saved. That's it. No, that's when it begins.
Right.
It's just beginning.
Right.
We're at the point where it's just beginning, and we on a journey, and it's going to take a lifetime to walk this thing out and trust Him. Amen. Very good point. So now we see here, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. I want to show something because I was reading the notes and they brought this out. We were talking about that not sin, therefore reign and all that stuff. And I think we'll start at verse 17.
1 Corinthians 1. Verse 1?
Yes. No, I'm sorry, verse 17. 17 and
18. Okay. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Okay. So we see here, if you look, he tells us what the preaching of. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. It says in the notes, to present to us a cardinal truth, but to preach the gospel, the manner in which one may be saved from sin. Not with wisdom of words, intellectualism is not the gospel. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So if I use wisdom of words, my own preconceived thoughts and thinking, previous teachings, and it's not the cross of Christ, he says, lest the cross of Christ should become or be made of none effect. What is he talking about there? He's talking about this whole process where the Holy Spirit is to put to death in me, and so that I can walk in the newness of life, the cross, that work will cease if I add anything to it, intellectualism, previous teaching, not with wisdom of words. Y'all know how we get up there on Sunday morning, we try to do that. Well, bless God. And y'all know how preachers do. We try to use these words, and the people are like, what is he talking about? It makes us look good. But you're not breaking it down so people can have a proper understanding.
Amen.
Y'all know that form of godliness that we do? So he's saying here, he says, not with wisdom of words. What happens when we do use wisdom of words? Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That's what's happening, Sister Cynthia, you said earlier. The cross, the power of the cross is made of none effect. So all we see is a form of godliness. It's not the reality. This is why we have church hurt and all these different things and whatever, because it's a form.
Amen.
Not the true power of God being revealed. The true power of God will bring healing. It'll bring forgiveness. It'll help us to look over each other's fault because we realize we're all a work in progress. You see that? So we won't be so quick to be feelings hurt and everybody just give up. We'll bear the infirmity of the weak. We have to understand that all of us were at some point weak in the faith. But as we mature, that we have to deal with and help others to come up along the way. You won't be so quick to just cut them off and kick them out.
Right. Wow.
See, we have to take that into consideration. We have to have patience, long-suffering. And so this is the fruit of the Spirit. But if that's not there, if the cross of Christ is not preached, then the effects of the cross won't happen. See, what the church often does is we're trying to teach the symptoms, the effects of Calvary, but we're not embracing the message. You see what I'm saying? We want to, we teach the symptoms. Oh, love. Show, we got to love. We got to love people. And in the way we'll try to express our love, we'll go have a Coke drive and pass out the turkey. Nothing wrong with those things. But if the cross of Christ is not preached and is not done because of a heart that's prompted by the Spirit of God, y'all see what I'm saying? Then we'll do the effects of what the cross do, but we're not embracing the cross. Y'all see, y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
When it's a form, we'll try to do what the cross can produce. We'll try to do that in our strength and ability. Let me go feed, let me go pass out water and do this and do that. But if I'm not embracing the cross, it's he's become of none effect in my life. So, but I got to do something to show y'all that I'm a Christian. I got to do something so y'all can see that the power is working in me. So this is why we resort to the works.
Right.
Mm. Minister, you mind if I read something?
Sure.
I think it's on what we're talking about. But it talks about in the church today, the evangelicals seek a Wesley and Whitefield type revival, a Jonathan Edwards type awakening, such as God brought in the 1700s, or a revival like the kind Charles Finney was used by God to bring in the 1800s. Yes, sadly, even though it is absolutely essential that we seek this type of revival, for it is revival based on repentance and the cross. Evangelicals miss the power of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, Pentecostal and charismatics seek a revival of power with great signs, wonders, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the gifts of the miraculous and the prophetic. Yet sadly, many Pentecostals miss the fullness and the beauty of the message of the cross. We have to have both the cross and the Pentecostal power.
Right.
I thought that was just so eye opener. Because it's so true. You hear the I'm getting this from Smith Wigglesworth's Keys to Power.
Okay. That is so
Go ahead. And so I just thought this was, it's all what we're talking about, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We need both, but sometimes you have one talking about the cross but never talk about the Holy Spirit, one talking about the power of the Holy Ghost, but you don't never hear the cross.
Right. And this is why we said in Romans 6, this is the mechanics. You're right. That's an excellent point. Because we have to understand how the Holy Spirit works within the framework of Calvary. He will not go outside of the framework of the cross. And like you said, we're preaching the power, but there's no cross.
Right.
And she just read that. Where we stop at in Romans, he says, for the preaching or the word of the cross is to them, verse 18, is to them who perish what?
Foolishness.
See that? Spiritual things cannot be discerned by unredeemed people. And nor can it be discerned by carnal people, carnal Christians, meaning Christians without divine revelation or influence. We're looking at things from a human perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be a Christian. Remember Paul told them? He said, you are carnal. By the time you should be teaching, so you have need that someone teach you. He said, how do we know that you're carnal? Because one of you say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ, I'm of Cephas. He said, Paul, I didn't die for you. That's what Paul said. So their focus was on men, who I follow. Don't we see this today?
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them who perish foolishness. And there are some Christians who are perishing spiritually. When I mean spiritually, they're not maturing in the faith. So spiritual things cannot be discerned by unredeemed or carnal people. But that doesn't matter. The cross must be preached just the same.
Yeah.
Right? So he says, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God.
Yeah.
See that? So if we're saved, the only way the power of God can show up is through the preaching of the cross. All these ministries that's saying God said and trying to claim the power is there and this and that, if they're not preaching, you don't even have to go there that long. If they're not preaching the cross, and I'm not saying say the words the cross, but there needs to be a breakdown that people need to put their faith in
right.
What Christ accomplished in order to be, you see that, not be, realize we're dead to sin, the sin nature, reckon ourselves dead, take into account. If that's not explained to people, people are going to try to live their Christian life based upon their carnal thinking. And that's what's been happening throughout the years. We're just, saved now. I'm going to do it the way I think or the way my parents told me or the way my grandparent or whoever ran the church before.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? So there was an analogy that was given about a hologram, and it was using the hologram, which is like when you shine a holographic light on an image, you can see like around it, around the whole. You know, if we look at a image, say if I draw a picture on a paper, that's 2D, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can just put my finger on that picture, and it's not gonna do anything. It's 2D. But then we have the 3D where you draw a cube, and it look like it's more detailed. Y'all don't understand what I'm trying to say? But then you have like this holographic thing, which is more dimensions. But what they have to do is they cannot see a hologram. It can't show you like the around the picture. Y'all ever seen it? A holographic picture where you can look around it and see things all, or it's just one image, but because it has all these different dimensions, you can look all, you know how on Facebook or on a, they put a picture out there and you can kind of like move around it and see things. Okay, so the only way you can see a holographic picture, you cannot see it through natural light, shedding natural light on it. It has to have these special lights on it to see through or around that picture. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You can't see or understand God with natural light on it or my human perception. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We have to have the light of the Spirit to give us more deeper detail about that image or what's going on in God's Word. Y'all see? Y'all understand? So we have to have a revelation that goes beyond human thought, intellectualism. Most people are trying to comprehend the Word of God through their own human mindset. We need a light source that's much greater than our own. You see what I'm saying? So it gives us more details. When you see a holographic image or a holographic video, you see more details, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks real. Well, we need the Word, we need that light that comes from heaven, which is the Holy Spirit, who illuminates things to us, and we can get a proper understanding of things. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Any more questions on this part before we go further? I'm going to go ahead and we're going to move forward. Let me see how much time we got. Okay, we're good on time. So the next, let's go down to, finally let's get to, I know we were recapping, but let's go to, let me see here, go back to Romans 6. And when you get there, Sister Cherry, let's start at verse 16 again.
16.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
So we know as Christians or sin, if you're a sinner, you're automatically a servant to sin. No questions asked. The world that's without Christ are servants to sin and Satan. Satan has a legal right over man because of the fall. Okay? So people we know that's not saved, their master is Satan, whether they want to believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've all been there. Now, as a Christian, you are under Christ, but you are allowing your members, your body, yourselves, to become a servant either to God or to obey God, or a servant unto sin, which leads to death. See that? So know you not that to whom? Who are you yielding yourselves to? Are you yielding yourself to your own desires, your own agenda, your own opinions, your own biases, and your own... If you're going outside of the Word of God, and it can be any situation you're dealing with, if you choose to leave the Word of God, what the Word of God says, or what the Holy Spirit has illuminated by you evidencing faith and trust in the cross, and trusting God regardless of how you feel and what it looked like and what people think of you. See, if we are all concerned about what people think of us and we can't stand on the truth of God's word, then who are you yielding yourself as a servant to? God or sin unto that leads to death? And any sin, when you know to do right and don't do it, the Bible says to him it's a sin. We know what's right, and we refuse to do it because of whatever reason, what people may think, or I may not be accepted by this group, or they may not like what I say because I offended somebody. Guess what? If the Holy Spirit said do it or say it, and I knew to do what was right, and I didn't, to you, it's a sin. So he says, to whom you obey, you are who his servants, you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience, which will lead to righteousness. So this is what we want. We want to walk in obedience, right? It says the believer is required to obey the word. Remember we said if it's, the word is not obeyed in the eyes of God, it's pointless that you read it, that you go to church, that you faithful and do it. If you're doing those things with no intent of reading and applying or obeying God's word, it's better to obey than what?
Sacrifice.
See that? A lot of people are doing all these sacrifices that God never required. Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did this in your name. And what did he say?
Depart from me.
And the reason why he said depart was because they did not obey the word of the Lord.
Amen.
See that? They had no relationship. There was no obedience. It says the believer is required to obey the word of the Lord. He cannot do that within his own strength, but only by understanding that he receives all things through what Christ did at the cross and his continued faith in that finished work, even on a daily basis. So that means you and I, whatever we do, whatever we decisions we have to make, we have to include the cross in that situation. If I don't seek him or include and turn to him in that situation, then what happens is, am I obeying God, which leads to righteousness, or sin, which leads unto death? And we already established the fact. Sin is not, oh, well, I cursed him out. Oh, well, I did this. I mean, it can include those things, but the sin, to him that know to do right and don't do it, to him it is a sin. You see that? We think sin is just these little acts of sin that we do. No, sin is disobedience to God and his word by not evidencing faith in the cross on a daily basis.
Amen.
Keep going, Sister Terry.
But God be thanked that ye were the servant of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
Now, you see, the form of doctrine, that's very important. This is what we were trying to get at. He says, you have obeyed. Let me read it from, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, slaves to the sin nature. We all were, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we were before we were saved. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Remember, God wants obedience from the heart. Let's go to Psalm 51. Keep your finger there, but we're going to come back, and let's go to Psalm 51. He wants obedience from a willing heart. He doesn't want a robot or somebody that just want to check a box or somebody that just wants to go through the motion, right?
Amen.
That's the way the world thinks. The world thinks, well, I'm going to get this and get that so I can maneuver myself and get in this position and that position. Most of them not qualified because they work and maneuver themselves to get what they want, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But God says, if you obey from the heart, that form of doctrine. See, this doctrine is not just that. Okay, let's go find it's just a doctrine. It's the doctrine that everything else is built upon.
Amen.
The doctrine. See, you cannot build anything else. You can't build nothing unless you have the right foundation. See.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if we hold to any doctrine that is based on something other than the cross, to the degree that it is separated from the cross, to that degree will error be the result. Okay? So it says, in fact, the following will be the conclusion of such an effort. And this is, I'm just reading this till we go over there. And this is in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly or pointedly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. So, depending upon how much you hold to the doctrine of the cross will determine how much you're separated from the cross, and that will determine how much error will be embraced in your life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not submitted wholly to the cross, then you leave room for error, to embrace error. And what happens in 1 Timothy 4:1, he said, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. This is why it's important that the foundation be laid properly. It says in a note, I am positive that Jesus considered that his death on the cross with all of its implications must be looked at as far more than a mere doctrine. No, as stated, the cross is and in fact must be the foundation of all doctrine. See this? The cross has to be the foundation of all doctrine. See, if you're searching the scriptures and without Christ and the cross, you're searching them, like he said in John 5, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. So your searching is in vain. So God wants us to obey from the heart. The reason why he called David a man after his own heart, and we're going to see in Psalm 51 how David prayed, and through his prayer you'll see his heart. So let's start at verse 1, Sister Cherry.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions.
Now,
watch
this song,
me thoroughly.
Cherry, I'm going to read the notes a little bit as you
okay.
For each one, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So this psalm of David, it says it was written when Nathan the prophet came unto him after the sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 12. The psalm was also given by the Holy Spirit to David when his heart broken and contrite because of his sin against God. He pleaded for pardon through the atoning blood of the Lamb. See, even David way back when, this is an example of how we're to apply the cross daily and daily circumstances. See, God will, if I don't see it because I'm blinded by whatever, the lust I'm carried away with, God makes it his business to make sure I know. And then he leaves room for me to respond properly. See, every circumstance in our life and situation is really to discipline us. It's to chasten us. It's not to hurt us, but he wants to correct us and put us on the right path. See that?
Amen.
So David got carried away by his lust. And so he had to suffer because of, he evidenced faith in the cross, but he had to deal with the consequences of his wrong actions as well as a means of discipline. So he pleaded for pardon through the atoning blood of the Lamb of God, which foreshadowed in Exodus. Thus, he was not only fittingly provided with a vehicle of expression and repentance and faith, but he was also used as a channel of prophetic communication. So David in his sin, repentance and restoration is a forepicture of Israel. Let's keep going, Sister Cherry.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin.
Man's problem is sin, and man must admit that. Y'all know how hard it is for Christians to admit their sin? This is hard for us when we're self-righteous, when we're religious, and we are not going by way of the cross. Because the cross will humble us to the point where we realize every sin, it doesn't matter what the sin is against God. Every sin. So even though David killed Uriah and took his wife, yes, it was against Uriah, but it was ultimately against God and his word.
Amen.
Keep going, Sister Cherry.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
It says the acknowledgement of verses 3 through 4 is the condition of divine forgiveness. All sin, in essence, is committed against God. Therefore, God demands that the transgression be acknowledged, placing the blame where it rightfully belongs, on the perpetrator. How many of us, well, has she not done that? Well, they shouldn't have made me go off. They stepped on, you know, they shouldn't have said this. No. You and I as Christians are to have self-control. If the Spirit of God is at work in us and our faith is in the right place. This is why I say don't get caught up with the spirit of the world system, because the spirit of the world wants to take a group of people and make us feel like we're victims and say you need reparations. What are we doing? We're saying we cannot forgive what happened how many years ago? We're still trying to make a whole another race pay for something that happened years ago when the nation fought and lost over 600,000 lives to end slavery. You see what I'm saying? So the enemy will put us in this whole another illusion of a that's not the reality to keep us from bringing forth. See, we'll bring forth the sins of other people, but how many of us are acknowledging our own transgression? We can remember it, what this person did to us and that person did to blah, 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 but we are not bringing forth. What about what's in our hearts? Why are we hating a certain group of people or vice versa? Y'all understand? When he said, love your enemies, do good to those that despitefully use you. Bless them, not curse. You see that? You see how the enemy can take us and cause us to work for his cause and his agenda and get us all in our feelings and emotions, and we don't acknowledge our transgressions. We too focus on what everybody else is doing or not doing. This is why the spirit of the world, we have to be very careful, because it will take, you have to guard what you hear, what you see, because it will put in us a spirit of bitterness, and we'll start hating people because of what we see on TV or what others have said and haven't even had an experience for ourselves. So he says in verse 4,
against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest.
Okay. So we have to look at things from a totally different perspective, you see, and it's so easy for the enemy, just like he did with Adam and Eve, to pull us from God consciousness. See that? He pulls us down from God consciousness to self. Any situation that always causes you to look at your emotions and how you feel, that's self-consciousness. And this is what the enemy wants. Ultimately, he pulls us away. This is pulling us away from the cross, that God can bring healing, forgiveness. He can help us see our wrong. The enemy don't want you to focus on that. He wants to see the wrong in others so we can stay mad. But guess what? if you always seeing the fault in others, you don't see that it's against God and Him only that we have sinned and done evil in His sight. Y'all see that?
Amen.
So He says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. All sin, and I don't care if somebody does something, a sin to you, all sin, God says, you're accountable to me. You take that person to the Lord, and they may not, you know, you may not have fellowship. You don't have to have fellowship. We don't have to be in people's face. But you can learn how to forgive for your own sake so that you can have peace. There are a lot of people that are bitter, that are mad, and that are angry, and they will never experience the peace of God which surpasses all their understanding. See, God knows the deep recesses of our heart. Most of us would have stoned David because what he did was wrong. He had a man killed, right? He should have been put to death, honestly. But most of us, because we don't understand the heart of David, see, God goes through the deep recesses of the heart. He knows the deep things in our heart. And thank God that He doesn't judge like men judge us.
Amen.
Y'all know, so most all of us probably be dead.
Mm-hmm.
If man had to judge us. But thank God, because there are some people where some bad things happened to them in their childhood. And these people grew up to be adults that were never taught the right way. God extends mercy. You see what I'm saying?
Thank you, God.
He shows mercy. And so we can't be a vessel used by the enemy to show bitterness and hatred towards other people. We don't even understand their hearts. So he says, keep going, Sister Cherry.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me.
See, he acknowledged that he was a sinner because he was born in sin. You see that? We're sinners because we have a bent towards wrongdoing. We inherited from our parents, our forefathers, Adam and Eve. Y'all see that?
Amen.
Keep going, Sister Terry.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
See that? God wants us to know wisdom in the inward part. He wants us to have truth inwardly. See, this goes beyond religion and the external, where I look the part externally, but there's nothing in me. What did he tell the Pharisees? They were like whitewashed walls. And those walls, they would have trash all behind the walls, and then they would plaster it. On the outside, it looked nice. I remember my parents had the porch, put concrete on the porch. But before they put the concrete on, they had all this trash in the trash down under their buckets and all this. And I'm like, why they do it? And they just poured the concrete on top. Nobody ever know that trash is underneath the porch. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people that poured the concrete, they had all this stuff down in there, and then they poured it on top. My point is what?
We can look good on the outside, but
yeah,
all this mess inside.
Mm-hmm. Right. Nobody ever know unless they tear up that concrete.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. This is what God wants to do by evidence and faith in the cross. He wants us to have that form of doctrine to lay the right foundation so that truth can be placed inwardly so that I can express it outwardly. See that? The enemy wants you and I to look the part outwardly, but there's nothing in me but dead men bones. And eventually the only thing that can come out, see, I don't know you by the little things, the nice kind of acts we do. I know you by your response in heated situations. That's when I come to know you. When you're put in the fire, I'll see what you're really made of. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So So you desire truth in the inward parts. This is what God desires. And in the hidden part, you shall make me to know wisdom. Man can only deal with the externals, and even that not very well. God alone can deal with the inward parts of man, which is the source of sin, which speaks of the heart. So in other words, the heart has to be changed. See, this is the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. But notice what David does. He's been honest. See, if I'm not honest and real with God, this can't take place in me. I have to admit my faults. I have to acknowledge that I've sinned against you and you alone, Lord. Keep going, verse 7.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
This hyssop, it was a, I remember they did it in one of the sacrifices in Leviticus, and it was the hyssop was a type, like a brush type thing, weed or something, whatever they used to dip the blood in to put it, to apply it to the doorpost of the when the death angel was coming over. This hyssop speaks of Christ's humanity. It was going to be his death, him as a man that would die. See, so he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So this petition to purge me with hyssop, it expresses a figure of speech. Purge me with the blood which on that night in Egypt was sprinkled on the doorpost with a bunch of hyssop. See that? That's in Exodus 12, 13, and 22. And it portrays David's dependence on the blood. This is us applying the cross. See, David had to apply this to his situation right then, at that time. He was going through. This is him submitting to the brokenness of the cross. It was his situation that brought him to this point. Nathan had to make him aware, right? And once he was made aware, David's heart was he wanted to please God. Let's keep going. One or two more, and then we're going to close.
Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
So this make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have, which you have broken, may rejoice. See, forgiveness for the past never exhausts the fullness of pardon. There is provision for the future. So the expression bones which you have broken presents a figure of speech, meaning that one cannot proceed until things have been made right with God. See, we can't go further. This is why I said we have to walk in obedience to God's word. If you don't, you will not progress. You'll be stuck in the wilderness like they were for 40 years. So it says, it is as though a man's leg is broken and he cannot walk. So unforgiven sin immobilizes the soul the same as a broken bone immobilizes the body. We're going to stop right there, because I want us to see that God, this form of doctrine that we embrace, which is the message of the cross, this is what happens to us. This is what goes on in this process. This is what God does. We have to build on the right foundation. Y'all see that? He said, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So we're not a slave to sin anymore. But now we're trying to obey this form of doctrine. And this form of doctrine is the very thing that David depended upon. Y'all, we saw it in action. He showed how we are to rely on the cross, even way back then, how we're supposed to rely on the cross in our daily circumstances. If I'm not admitting what I've done, stop pointing fingers at people. If I'm not real with God about who I am and my failures and shortcomings, if I'm not daily and constantly, see, every day is an opportunity to apply faith in any given circumstance or situation, every day. And I saw something by Oswald Chambers. He said, prayer changes us so that we change things. And the reason why, if I learn to die to self, and say in a relationship, if you're not all about putting your desires and your will, and you're not on the throne of your heart, then it's much easier for people to have or be in relationship with you because you're not self-seeking. You see that? And if you're not self-seeking, then those who are, they'll see that they put them, you put yourself last. Guess what? It makes them see themselves being self-seeking or whatever. Y'all see, how do you know that a crooked stick is crooked? How does a crooked stick know that it's crooked?
When you stand against a straight one.
There you go. When it stands against a straight one. When we stop lying on the job, when we start doing right by our time and our employers, when we go and we do something wrong and admit our fault and get the thing right, people will be like, oh, wow, they're being real. Y'all see what I'm saying? When we say what we mean and mean what we say, he said, let your answer be yes or no. Anything further is sin. Y'all know how we do. We get in some entanglements. And then there we go down a road where we just created a lie because we refuse to say the truth. When we start being honest, the Holy Spirit is like, yes, people see it. Because whether we know if you stand against a straight stick, they're going to see your dishonesty. They're going to see that you're not being a good steward. They're going to see that you quoting the word, but you're not allowing this word to make you the better person that you could be. And this is what he's saying here. This is what David came. He had to be real. Lord, create in me. I know I was born in sin. I know I did wrong, and I sinned against you. But on that note, I'm going to close, okay? But those on the line, y'all hold on. We'll take questions and comments. We want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and we went over, but forgive us for that. But thank y'all for staying on the line, and we pray that we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.